Hi everyone, it's Mike here, and we're back again with part two, episode number 83, and we kick off with a little bit of Mafe and Baby Watch, and then into a bit of PAX and Doctor Who. Take it away, Dean.
He's got a baby on the way. Like,
oh my god, how is that going?
Yeah, what, well, let's stop watching. Like, watch your baby watching. Watch your baby watching.
Watch it. Oh,
she could be in labor.
She's
right
doing
now.
Like a minute, right?
We got 3 weeks to go.
So right now,
we've already had Stella! Some Braxton Hicks. So Braxton Hicks is like
Tony Braxton.
No.
What? With a bunch of was hits. That Braxton Hits? Like Tony Braxton Hits. Yeah.
Braxton Hits. Just when you thought you weren't able to get the DVDs, now
so this
you
is what could be happening. Can I say,
Braxton
we
Hicks.
Have your Mo Watch photos and we have Baby Watch photos.
Yes, yes.
Baby Watch.
So 3 weeks. So last week of November, first.
So
week
it was
of December.
A battle royale for the end of the month. Ding ding.
It is. It'll be on. but I still don't think you'll have enough Mo to be cute.
Mo versus Baby.
Mo versus...
Which will go first?
Yeah. Which will grow first, yeah.
Yes, which will grow,
which will grow first, the Mo or the baby?
Yes, so yes, we got 3 weeks ago, Braxton Hicks, which is kind of like body getting ready for baby.
Yeah.
So, like lots of tightness.
There were a lot of
Braxton
Hicks.
There are a few Braxton Hicks in Deliverance as well, I think.
There is.
Hang on, what?
Brax and Hicks.
Deliverance?
Yeah, Brax and Hicks.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Anyway.
Oh my.
It's sad.
I've never even heard of
Braxton Hicks. Is false labor.
Yep, false labor.
Oh. You feel like you're having contractions.
Okay. So it's getting the baby. It's getting the body ready for the baby. So.
Okay.
But, you know, water
And she's only a tiny person. She's like you, Em. She's a tiny person, so not a lot of room in the
I
inn.
I hear that the one place where women's water break and they don't realise is when they're in the shower. So you've got to watch out for that.
Oh, like, that makes sense.
You're having a hot shower, but it's more than that. It's because you're having a hot shower and everything relaxes and
right,
you're
right? Yeah, yeah.
So you're actually in labor and don't realize that you are because you're so relaxed.
That last month, women shouldn't shower.
Well, the great.
I'm not suggesting.
No, don't.
No cleaning. I mean, water saving is
good luck
important.
With that. Good luck with that.
That actually happened with my friend where she felt like crap all day and then had a shower and her water broke in the shower. And then she was so relaxed from the shower, then crawled into bed while her husband was watching the footy. And then she was actually in labor and she was screaming, but they'd had a fight just before she had the shower. So he turned the tally up.
Oh no.
And then by the time he realized, he was like, and this is not a joke. I'm not, you've had kids before, so I'm not freaking you out. She was like, oh my God. And he's like, oh my God. So they got the neighbor to look after their current child and was like, okay, come on, let's just get you into the car. And she stepped onto the carport and he took one look and went, we don't have time.
The baby was
she
crowning.
Was holding the baby's head in her hands.
Wow.
And then he made in the asphalt of the carport, he made a little cushion as he slid her back into it. The baby came out.
Up there, because
I was going to say, like you were watching
a cushion out of asphalt.
Like he literally just made a pile of asphalt to rest the back of her back on. And they were talking to the ambulance at the time, and the person's like, okay, okay.
And it was just like,
and he goes, literally, well, I mean,
what
a slide.
How many
children? Pretty much what happened. And then he was freaking out, so he's like, took off his shirt. He still has the shirt. This happened a year and a half ago. Wrapped his son in the shirt, waited for the ambulance to come, cut the cord. Then they were like, oh, we hate to do this to you. We'll get you to the hospital and we'll do the placenta. But they had to do it there because it was happening.
Yep.
So they did the placenta there and then they got into the hospital. Everything was fine. The mum was coming by to visit and the neighbour had the daughter and the mum freaked out because there was just blood all over the back.
Oh, no.
Actually, I heard a similar story of like things seeming weird.
This is why I mentioned the shower thing.
Please,
like,
please don't be
she's just, like,
eating
she
while you're
know,
listening to this part.
But she didn't know she was in labour because she got in the shower. That's when her water broke. And you just think it's your body.
Well, this is one of those stories, again, that I've heard one of these before a couple of times where women don't realise that they've gone into labour. And she actually started going into labour when she was on the toilet because you're kind of in that position and gravity and things just started to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And her husband, she wasn't able to contact him for whatever reason. So she had just called like an ambulance to get there and it was just kind of happening, and it just happened. Came out, yeah. And she had the baby, and she's like trying to hold it and is trying to deal with the umbilical cord, and then finally she cut it somehow.
Teeth.
And then it might have even been, or just, no, it was a crazy story. And then the ambos finally turned up, so she had the baby like on the floor and kind of like went to the front door and opened it and kind of put her hand on the wall in the way because she was like just giving birth. Oh. Bloody handprint along the wall, and just opened the door, and the ambos are like, what the fuck has just happened in here? Because they didn't realize she was giving birth. So someone just called an ambulance, and a woman's just opened the door with like a bloody hand, and there's blood everywhere and like streaks on the wall. And they thought they just turned up to some murder scene, and she's like, "No, I've just given birth, and the baby's on the toilet floor."
Dean's story reminds me of Naked Gun in the series, and there was a woman who was giving birth. You remember that episode? And she's sort of lying, and he's going, "I'll help you, I'll help you." The next thing you know, he turns around, he turns back, and he's got like the whole catcher's outfit, mitt, and everything like that. And the baby just goes,
"That's right,"
and he catches it, and the catcher's mitt, and he's like, "Touchdown!" He's like, you know,
I think that scenario was a little bit more stressful.
I think it was. I really do think it was. But yeah, we're 3 weeks away. It's very exciting. The great thing about it is she's having a C-section, which means that I get to wear scrubs. So
you know what's really awesome excited. And also creepy is they did this with my friend's birth, where they actually did a picture of the hand coming out of the belly through the cut. It's amazing and beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. So
honestly, like, lots of I mean, the good thing, with a C-section, look, lots of pics, it seems creepy. I think the only downfall of a C-section is the fact that the woman doesn't have the natural adrenaline and endorphin rush that comes with actual labour that just helps a lot.
I think she's quite happy after having two already. So
I mean, that's it's just your body's way of coping, but she'll just be angry. She's fit now. But the upside is she gets a bit more of a rest with a C-section.
And the weird thing is that
look at us, watch a baby.
She hasn't had really many sort of any really, you know, she doesn't want strawberries or anything like that. She had
massive cravings.
Massive cravings. Haven't, but in the last probably 6 weeks, she loves smelling fabric softener. And bleach.
Can I say my favourite?
Wow. My wife's chroming.
Okay. My favourite time of any vegetarian pregnancy is because every vegetarian pregnancy I know, they have that craving.
You had a vegetarian pregnancy.
No.
Because your body really needs iron.
They have that. And it's that whole thing like where they're just like, no. Oh my God, this is amazing. And I'm like, right.
Burger. That's right.
Yeah.
But no, so honestly, bleach. When you're pregnant, whatever your body is craving, you need to eat it.
So you need to eat coal? There was a lady who ate coal. She was...
if your body's craving it...
Coal.
If your body's craving it, speak to a doctor about what properties might be in coal that your body actually needs and how you could get them through food.
Yeah, she may have had to give a medical... You know how you stress by eating things.
You know how they have given coal in hospital for whatever reason?
I just thought the kid was bad. Maybe Santa was like, oh,
coal. Too sure? Coal. There was a woman who ate rubber bands. That was another one.
Yeah, that's not pregnancy. That's neurotic disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mandy, you got a neurotic disorder for bleach.
No, she's weird. Not drinking the bleach though.
Weird woman.
Smelling bleach is fine.
I tell her to stop chroming. She's got a bag and she's like over her head.
You make up too many stories about your wife that one day will be replayed in court and will be the death of you.
That's about everybody, so it's not just one person.
Not everyone.
Anyway.
What have you been reading, Nate?
Have you read anything yet?
I decided to finally read one of the man. Serenity comics. So I read the...
Speaking of transmedia.
Serenity Now. Why are you saying that?
You know what? From a transmedia perspective, Heroes actually did... I thought of it afterwards. Well, they did tons of it, and I collected it all during it while it was going on. Sorry, I'll let you continue.
That's fun.
They had a webcomic that became an actual comic during it. Sorry. Go.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Now
so
it's my turn.
I read... No, I'm just going to talk about this. No. I read those Left Behind, which is the first volume in the series of comic books. And this fills in the story in between the series Firefly. Oh, no. Wait.
Isn't it before it?
Hang on.
Have you read this, or are you just making it up?
No. This is between the series Firefly and the movie Serenity.
Right.
So that's where this comic is set. And it basically reads like one of the episodes of Firefly. So it's just another...
Was it written by Joss?
He is involved, yes. Well, creative he's one director. Of the writers.
Oh, okay, he's one of the writers.
Well, let me see. Yeah, he's one of the writers.
Jonathan, is Jonathan in there?
Brett Matthews and Joss Whedon.
Excellent.
Who's so,
Joss Whedon? I've heard of him.
This reads like one of the episodes in between, of Firefly. It was really good. It was really enjoyable. They bring back one of the minor characters from the series. It was a character, I don't know if anyone remembers, but he was a guy who was posing as just someone looking for a lift on Firefly, but he really worked for the Alliance.
Yes, that was in the first episode. That was the pilot.
Actually it was.
It was the pilot episode.
It was the pilot, yeah.
And they let him go, didn't they? They knocked him out and let him go.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's sad because they actually dropped the whole series.
Yeah.
Anyway, he comes back to seek revenge on Mal because Mal or someone shot him and he lost one of his eyes. So I don't know if you guys remember, they let him go, but they shot him.
Yes.
And he lost one of his eyes, so he comes back to seek revenge. It's really nice. It's a nice way to just stay acquainted with the characters or the idea of what the characters were doing in between the show and the movie, which is the whole point of transmedia. I really liked the artwork. I actually found that they actually looked like the characters. And that's one of the issues I have with transmedia when it comes to comics. Sometimes the way they're drawn, like I found Buffy,
really hard.
The way they're drawn, I just kept thinking, this doesn't look like Buffy. Just feel like I'm reading someone else.
You've got a ton of source material to go from.
It's hard. Yeah, the only Wash didn't look quite like Wash. That's the only character that didn't quite look right in this. But the rest looked really good. But you know what, guys? I had this epiphany about why I don't read that many comics.
Tell me.
I was thinking, why do I not buy that? Why am I just not compelled to do it? There's a couple of things. One,
you know what you're doing.
Shut up. One, it's difficult for me to find comics that are really compelling to me.
Yes.
So, in fairness, majority of comics are still written for straight white men. So I find it a little bit difficult to find comics that I find really appealing and have characters that speak to me and to my interests. I know what you should do,
and I'm totally serious.
Okay.
Go along to one of the all-star...
I was actually going to say...
It's on my list. I'm going to go to that. But that's not the only reason. That's just one little thing.
Well, I'll try and solve the next one too.
Okay. The other thing is, it's the business model. Okay? So when it comes to digital media, so movies and TV shows, just download that shit. I don't even really pay for it. I mean, Netflix, I'm legitimately paying for Netflix, but I'm paying $15 a month
$14.40.
For some outrageous amount of content that's just like hours and hours, like ridiculous amount of content.
So happy.
A novel I could buy for about $10 and it'll last me like a month to read. I paid $25 for this and I read it in an hour. I was done. It's a nice cover. Like, and this is, and in terms of content,
that is a problem.
It's the equivalent of maybe even just half a TV episode. So we're talking $25 for the equivalent of one episode. I can't remember.
Is it a collection of a monthly series?
I think it's just one-offs.
But often, like, there's only been one series that I've loved enough to actually invest all that money, which is The Sandman. But even then, you're talking, like, one issue, $25, and that's an ongoing, sprawling, like, epic story.
Volume.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yep.
You're dropping hundreds of dollars for one story. And I'd never actually sat down and worked that out before, and I was like, that's what it is. I can't fucking afford to read comics. That's what's actually holding me back.
This is why every couple of months I do a cull of what I'm collecting. Because even today I spent $51.22.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money per week. $50 per week to drop on comics. And then you kind of look at it and go, well, what am I reading? What am I really enjoying? This is why I'm so harsh about the comics.
And don't get me wrong. There's some amazing comics out there. Amazing comics. But for me, again, I have to compare it with other media because that's just my point of reference. If I'm testing out a TV show, I will download an episode. Hell, even if I pay for an episode, what is it like for one episode?
Exactly.
For like $4 or $5 or something?
Still cheaper than a comic.
To dip your foot in.
And only watch 3/4 of it.
That's not much money to spend. To dip my foot into a comic book series, I've got to shell out $25 just to see if it's even something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And that's an issue for me.
But you've got some good news. You've got some good news. You told us some good news off air.
You created a pull list, is what he's talking
about.
Oh, right. Well, that doesn't solve any of these issues I've just discussed, but so I don't know how that actually works.
You've got lots
of
issues, so, you know, we're just sort of adding it to the list.
Yeah, I've got my first pull list. pull list.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds vaguely sexual.
It does.
Oh, man. Does everything have to go down that path?
Yes.
Pull list. Yes. Okay. Anyway.
That's vaguely sexual. I'll just say it a couple more times.
I was saying it again to try and think, do I just have a sexual mind or does that actually sound sexual? No, it does.
Both.
Anyway, nothing wrong with the sexual mind. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to, I'm going to say this is my comic book store. You guys are all about All-Star, but I'm from the Burbs.
I'm not,
All
actually.
Stars.
I go to Classic Comics.
And no hating All-Star or Classic Comics or at any of them all. They're all great.
She really does.
But I'm from the Burbs, and that's too far for me
totally.
To travel.
Well, Ringwood, there's some nice stores.
Well, I go to Alternate Worlds in Bayswater.
That used to be, Alternate Worlds used to be my store.
I really like it. I really, really like it. I've been in there quite a few times. They've got great collectibles, and I am a collector, so I love that.
All about it.
But I've been there a few times, and whenever I ask them about comics and stuff, they're super helpful. Like this, I was looking for this Serenity comic, and the guy searched through like boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff until he found it right at the bottom of one box. He's like, I got it for you. And I'm like, oh, thanks. But I'm after...
And then you were like, 20 bucks.
I've never seen a girl in the store before.
Don't say that. That's not true.
That's not true.
It's not true.
Maybe
it's not.
Maybe Alternate Worlds.
Not true. Plenty of girls in there.
Let it go.
I was after Lost Girls. And he was we don't have it, but it's going to be coming in.
Yes.
I'll start a list for you. And I wanted the next Serenity comic. They didn't have it.
Yes.
And he was like, I'll start a list for you. And then I got this special little text message
today.
You totes
got upsailed. Like, you, yeah.
Total. Okay.
But it was so... I was so excited when I got this text message. Items from your standing order with Alternate Worlds has arrived and are available at the Bayswater store. Yay!
That's very organized.
Okay, I've got two comics that I can suggest for you. Umbrell. Which is
Umbrella Academy?
No, Umbrell. Oh, Umbrella Academy is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Umbrell, which is
borrow stuff from me.
But can I just... I will let you finish talking about that. I will. But can I just say, issue isn't that there's no comics that I'm interested in reading.
It's a large ratio.
There's a huge list and I don't have that huge amount of money to go and actually buy them all and try them. And I don't like reading them digitally. I tried it. I don't like it.
I respect that.
That's why I will never get a Kindle. It's the same with novels. I can't read a book on a Kindle either.
I agree. I really struggle with it. I want the actual book. I want to feel the actual book.
I'm a digital.
And part of it's because I'm a collector.
But also,
I agree.
But also, I'm just like, it's not, I like the spine of a book.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
like opening it up.
And when it's brand new and it makes that slight creak when the spine like bends for the first time.
Love it.
Love to run your finger down the spine.
It's just a jump to the left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Please tell me about this comic. Told
Umbrell,
you I'd come back to it.
Umbrell.
Very strong female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Very good book. That's what I'm going to say.
Is that it?
Read it. Look it up. Umbrell.
Who's the distributor?
Image.
Okay.
And the second one is Rat Queens.
Rat Queens.
That was featured in the All-Star Women's Comic Book Meetup thing. They did a big thing about that.
Rat Queens.
Yes, I've heard that that's really good.
Very, very funny.
That's this Sunday, isn't it?
Very, very
funny. Well, actually, I'd like to point out it's the Sunday that's already been.
Depends on my mic. I thought it was the 9th of November.
By the time this podcast comes
out. Oh, right, yeah.
I reckon I can get it up before then.
We just put up to... Okay.
That's what
and
he
talking
said.
About a sexual mind.
I feel like actually the amount of time, because we've still got more to talk about, this will actually be two podcasts. So this one will actually be 2 weeks from now, this conversation.
Well, it depends on when Mike...
Yeah,
okay,
the next one will be in December.
Depends.
I'm
going to
wrap up what
up.
I'm reading really
And before the next one, by the way, I want to get Kaz from All-Star in so that we can have a chat about it.
Get her on the show. Let's get her on the show.
Yeah, we'll just pick a time when we don't need Nath and we'll get her to replace him and it'll be fine.
All right, super quick. I also
You're talking about poo
time,
now, aren't
got
you?
Time.
Hmm?
You're talking about poo now, aren't you?
I am talking about poo.
I love poo.
I read The Tao of Poo.
I had a hard time with that book.
The
Tao? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or as a lot of people call it, The Tao.
I just...
Yeah, no, I actually, when I first got it, I was...
Because your friend as well, she was reading it
reading
the same
exactly
time.
The same thing.
Yeah, I saw
Who
it.
Was reading the same thing? Who was reading the same thing?
My friend Ash was reading...
Ash from Sydney.
Literally on the same night, we were reading the two exact... I mean, what are the odds? She was reading Issue 2 of Womankind and The Tao of Poo. And I was reading Issue 2 of Womankind and The Tao of Poo. Anyway, I did pronounce it Tao when I first got it. And then I started reading it and I was like, oh, it's Tao. Whoops.
I still have it. Maybe I'll re-look into it.
Anyway, Tao of Poo, it's a really old book. It was released like 1983, I think.
Yeah,
the year I was born.
Early 80s poo.
It's early 80s poo. No, it's basically this small guy book. Takes the stories from the classic Winnie the Pooh stories
era.
And uses them as a metaphor genre. For talking about Taoism,
yeah.
which is a Chinese philosophy, basically. And Taoism is just all about rejecting the idea of knowledge and knowing things and feeling the need to be doing things and knowing things all the time and just embracing calmness and
how do you feel about that, Em? Because that's really not...
Yeah.
I totally embrace
yep,
that
yep,
shit.
So yeah, well, the idea is that Pooh is totally embraces the Tao principles because he does nothing.
Yep.
He doesn't think about the past. He doesn't think about the future. He doesn't really... He just relies on his instinct.
Honey.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, bother.
Yeah, oh, bother. Yeah, and it's actually really, really sweet. It's a really, really nice... It's a really nice book.
How do you feel about that? It's great theory. To be touched by poo. Would you apply that theory?
Maybe
in your
I was just really angry at the time.
I actually think Taoism. This is my first encounter with Taoism, and I really dig it.
Yeah,
I really, really dig it.
Rejecting knowledge.
Down with the Tao.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I was saying to Jake, there's a lot of it's causing a lot of conflict in my mind between like Eastern and Western philosophies surrounding like wisdom and knowledge and approaches to life. It's forcing me to like rethink.
You know what it is? It's embracing.
It's actually really compelling.
Freedom, in a way, because you are not kind of concentrating so much on what's happened in the past, what's going to happen in the future, and you're just kind of enjoying the moment more.
Maybe
absolutely. Like, there's a whole chapter on the idea of doing nothing, the joy of like just going out and not having a purpose. And
Silent Watcher Jake is probably just going.
Well, I did that a little bit this week.
Well, I discovered after I read this, Silent Watcher Jake not only has this and has read it, but he has the original the Tao for lack of a better word, Bible, like the proper written by the original Chinese philosopher. He actually has that, and he's read it.
I see Jake, and I see a casual guy.
Yeah. And you see Em, and she's like...
He's laid back. He's cool.
Ooh. This very selective...
I just don't know if casual is the right word, but he is definitely very...
Can I just say casual is not the right word?
It's not quite the right word, but I get what you're saying. Jake doesn't get caught up in
this. He's got an even flow.
Even when in the driving seat, it seems like he's sitting in the back of the car.
He's a relaxed guy.
There's an ease.
It's an even flow.
Not casual.
Yeah.
All right, let's say not casual.
There's an ease about him.
Let's go with an ease.
Yeah. Whereas for me, there's very much an unease.
We've seen a casual at 3 o'clock in the morning, but that was
very casual.
That's a very casual.
3 in the morning.
That's very casual.
That was
your birthday.
Oh god,
did
that
stay
was
over?
Very casual. Oh yeah.
What happened?
It was.
Oh
mean.
Jake.
It was nasty.
Jake.
Was
Silent Watcher let loose?
Yeah, he was no longer silent.
Tell me more.
No. Oh, he just.
Oh, this wasn't like they were asleep in the and he. Okay,
he was making out with some guy and it was.
Yeah.
Weird.
No, but it did not surprise me at all that Silent Watcher was already into Taoism and totally down with that.
He really was.
It's really nice. Day of Piglet is the second book, so this is kind of a two for one.
I think I have them.
The Day of Piglet, not so good.
No.
It's really bizarre. He wrote it a few
Piglet's
years later.
An idiot.
And the weird thing.
Hey.
Wow.
Piglet's an idiot.
Wow.
Bring
us he's been busting his chops. Come on.
Oh,
nice. Very nice.
Anyway,
there we go.
Like something happened to him in his life in between writing the two of them, because in the second one, he's totally bitter. And it's like, this is not Taoism at all.
You know what's happened?
He's all bitter.
He's become vegetarian. He doesn't like pigs.
No, I don't know what it is, but The Day of Piglet is not quite as good. Mm. But anyway, read The Tao.
That's disappointing.
It's really
but
nice.
Not the what of Piglet?
The Day.
Yeah, what about Piglet? What's the one called?
What?
What's the Piglet one called?
The Day of Piglets.
Oh, okay.
What's the whole conversation?
The Tao of Pooh and the
Day of Piglet.
Okay, let it go.
Frozen. On the fry pan. On the fry pan. She does look like one of the girls.
It's only because she's in a striped top.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's only because she's in a striped top, but you're thinking Mel and Kim.
Which is the one that's alive.
Both. Well,
yeah, the video clip with Mel and Kim. I think
Mel and Kim.
That's when Michael Kim joined the band.
There you go.
I think one of them is wearing like a striped top kind of thing.
Who are these people?
You haven't heard.
Okay, move right along before we have a three parter.
'80s gold.
We've still got a good half an hour to make the two parter happen, and it will be happening, I think.
Okay,
we start to talk about Doctor Who and PAX.
Let's
be honest.
Jesus,
talk about your comics.
Okay, very, very quickly.
Everybody,
It's now in second issue, but it's Copperhead from Image. It's by, who's writing it? It's Jay Faribault, and also the artist is Scott Godletsky. And they're two, they do a lot, but they but there's nothing that's really sort of given them their breakout right up until now. And this is a really great, fun story. It's pretty much about a woman named Claire Bronson who is starting a new job as a sheriff in a, it's like a one horse western town set on a planet far, far away. And so you've got aliens, like so one of her deputies is an alien who helps her out. His name is Boo, and she's brought her son along with her, and she's just starting to get the feel of what being the sheriff of a one-horse town
for some reason. I'm just thinking of Zaf Brannigan and Kiff.
It pretty much it's kind of a bit like she's not stupid by any means. She's actually quite smart and intelligent, and I wouldn't mess with her if I saw her walking down the street as the sheriff of the town.
One thing is going through my head this whole time.
Yep.
Space horse. Yeah,
it could be.
That's it.
It could be.
Okay.
But there's also a murder that's taken place towards the end of the first issue, and we and in the next one they start to solve that. But Copperhead, it's a fun read. The illustration is just, you know, it's lovely, and because it's all set in sort of that desert sort of setting, it really is a western sort of futuristic town.
Sounds like Firefly.
Kind of.
It's like a space western.
Yeah, it definitely is a space western. It really much it is. But yeah, it's great, and it's a good read. And the colouring in it is just beautiful because it's got those yellows and reds and, you know, that vibrancy to it. So yeah, Copperhead, Image Comics, second issue is out. Third issue I think is next week. So get on it.
Right. Giddy up.
Cool. That's all.
It done.
Okay, well, I only have...
Rapid review!
It's not that rapid. I only have four to touch on.
Quick review.
I'm still slowly going through my reading. The chest infection / hay fever has meant I've been... It's taken me like 3 days to read a comic when I normally read three in one night.
How does that work? Did you just like sleep? You just like read a couple of pages and then sleep and then wake up and then read a couple more, or...?
No, like each day.
Oh, okay.
When I go to bed.
Yes, right.
So I'm going to kick off with All New X-Men number 33. Look, this is... Bendis is not winning goals for me at the moment with the current story arc that he's got. Essentially, the young X-Men are in the Ultimate Universe. There's reasons why I stopped collecting anything in the Ultimate Universe, except for Ultimate Spider-Man. I just don't need this exploration to occur. I don't need there to be a bit more of a point. It's fine. I just don't care. You know, it's delving into a universe that I don't give a shit about. I stopped reading those books because I didn't give a shit about it.
Drop.
I don't need
this.
Is
it a drop?
No. Like, I'm not enjoying the arc.
Right.
It's still funny. The art is still great. I just don't care about a storyline about traveling to the Ultimate Universe. Inhuman, issue number 7. We finally find out what's going on with Black Bolt. Look, this is a series that I'm just getting confused by. I'm not ready to drop it. I was last time I talked about it. It's. I think the mistake they made when they started it with was to have the art by... he did art years ago.
Joe Madeira.
Yeah, Joe Madeira. And they're kind of trying... Yeah, but it's just too much.
How many issues before he left?
I think he only did two.
Ugh.
And I just, this is a really big story, and I'm a little bit confused. I actually have the feeling that one of the reasons why Matt Fraction left the book was because probably around that time was when they were saying, yes, we're going to do an Inhuman film. Mm. This is the direction we need the comic to go in, and it wasn't the direction he wanted it to go in.
So Fraction left after two as well, didn't he? Yes. Or he, yeah, so they but both left.
Madeira was because he couldn't keep the schedule.
Yeah, well, that's not uncommon.
What they needed in the story book. Wasn't what was happening. Look, and there's a really big storyline going on. I just feel like it's... I need something, and I'm not getting it from this title. I'm certainly not ready to drop it. No. I said that I was going to drop it last time, and I'm happy with where it's going. There is something they're trying to say, but I feel like from issue to issue, it's this another huge, big thing. And I would personally feel like an editor or someone needs to rein Sol in or get another writer to give it a bit of a better direction. But he's basically spent the last four issues putting the direction that obviously is the direction he needs it to go in. But there's just a lot going on, and it's just a lot. Not bad, but I'm just getting confused. For a person that's kind of yeah, I'm not as intimate with the Inhuman Society. I just kind of go, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like them in the context of the superheroes that I normally experience them in, and this is them very much on their own with new characters and old, but they're all new characters, and so it's a little bit confusing. I just want a little bit more grounding, and then I can sit back and enjoy the story that's being told. Guardians of the Galaxy, issue number 7, an original sin tie-in. We finally find out what happens to Nova. A very lovely, fitting end to finding out the situation with that character. I'm really, look, I love that Bendis took 3 issues to tell this story. It does explain to us why Star-Lord and Drax and Galactus...
Did you say issue number 7?
Of Inhumans.
Oh, I thought you said issue number 7 for
Guardians. I said issue number 20 of Guardians.
Sorry,
of Galaxy.
I wasn't listening to you, which is not unusual.
And and essentially, Star-Lord and Drax retell what happened to Nova and why he's never coming back and why Nova's dead.
Oh.
Nova's dead. It's nice, but I was one of those
spoiler?
People that
was... Was that a spoiler? Or
no, he okay. died years ago. I was one of those people that was hoping that there'd be a direction or a reason.
Which Nova are we talking about? The current Nova or the old Nova?
The current Nova only arrived a year ago, so it's not the current Nova.
Right, thanks.
Because the other Nova died years ago. I'm not
in time parallel. I'm just asking.
I was kind of hoping there'd be a glimmer of maybe Nova could come back from this story, just because I'm not as taken with Sam Alexander. It's a nice fitting end to the character, but yeah, it. Let's get on with some Guardians of the Galaxy stories. Yeah,
is McGuinness still doing? I see McGuinness on the front. On
the artwork, yes.
Yeah. Is he doing all of it, or is he just doing partial?
Have a look in the comic and find out.
I will. Oh, don't worry.
It could just be that issue if he didn't do all of it. Fantastic Four, issue number 12. While we know that the Fantastic Four current arc and series is coming to an end in some capacity, like so many of Marvel stories, this is great. James Robinson and Leonard Kirk are doing a great job with the Fantastic Four. I'm really enjoying this run. I'm really enjoying this series. This is the one where everything gets turned on its head, where the Fantastic Four start to realize that they are being manipulated. Everything that's become a mess of their lives, the fact that they've lost custody of their children, all of this stuff is actually someone pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Sony?
No.
Fox.
But what's more interesting is at the end when there's the reveal, we have no idea who this guy is. It's a fun, it's a good story. I'm enjoying the heck out of it. The comics that I have that I picked up today and I'm ready to read, it's Spider-Verse Team Up. Spider-Verse issue number 1. Oh, look, I'm confused. There's the Weapon X program, the Death of Wolverine stuff. I think I'm over it. I haven't read any of it yet, but I already think I don't care. There's a title that's coming out called Wolverines, and it's like a rotating roster of savage characters. I don't give a shit. But I will say, number 1 comic book cover of the week goes to Rocket Raccoon issue number 5. Scotty Young
beautiful.
Has done this awesome comic book cover of Rocket in love with his big, big gun and Groot looking confused. And that's just beautiful. And that's my thumbs up.
Very, very good. Very, very quickly before, well, we're talking about comics, however, it should have been in the news. DC have announced the big event in April 2015, which is Convergence. And this could be their way of fixing up all their stuff ups over the last 3 years.
We'll see.
We shall see.
Yeah.
But it's looking possibly that way.
Well, from what I've seen from the images that they've shown, yeah, you can see there's a lot of different timelines that need to fix.
And so they did say that they want to fix a lot of those issues.
You know what? It's really upsetting, though. It's been 3 years. Oh, we really want to fix stuff. Like, we know we fucked up.
Well, you know,
either way, you're fucking exactly everyone over.
It's the new 156.
It's ridiculous.
156?
So before we dive into some Doctor Who conversations, I think we should definitely talk about PAX. Nath wasn't one to go, but M, Mike and I all went to PAX at various different times and had different experiences past week. You only went.
Dean and I crossed paths.
Well, we did. I went to the panel and recorded some of M. I went to the panel that Em was speaking at on Transmedia on the Sunday at PAX.
Yeah, so
that
I was on,
really interesting.
Yeah, it was a panel with Taylor, Tristan Jones, Daniel. I can't pronounce his last name. Something.
Jazz.
And someone else. Oh gosh, I feel awful. I've forgotten all their names.
It's all right.
I was on a panel full
tweet
of people.
On Dr. Emma Beddoes.
We were talking about transmedia and games. So we're talking about the intersection of games with other media platforms. Mm-hmm. And when games we're not just talking like franchises and spin-offs, but when they become part of an immersive universe, much like the Marvel universe, when you've got all these different bits of media talking to each other. So we talked about you know, the Matrix, Enter the Matrix, how that game was a part of the whole Matrix story. Mm. We talked about Halo, which has become a big transmedia thing. Mm. I mentioned Disney Infinity. Oh, that was great. To mention that. I've been playing Disney Infinity and it's fucking awesome.
Are you playing Guardians of the Galaxy? Is it 2.0? You're playing the 2.0 part yet? No, not yet.
No, I'm not.
Get on it.
I'm not so interested in that part because I'm not so much into the whole superhero genre.
That's wrong.
But
with you. Get off the show.
I have to say, honestly, when I'm playing that, I feel like I'm in one of the movies. It's amazing.
You play Ariel?
Yeah.
Are you playing Ariel?
No, I'm playing, my favorite at the moment is Captain Jack. Like, I am Captain Jack on the ship, and it feels like the way the game's been designed, it's literally an endless ocean, and I'm just steering the ship wherever I want, pulling in at islands.
Do you have to control the way you walk as well? So you're kind of like going from side to side.
He just does that automatically.
What's that song? What's that song by the...
who knows? Anyway,
Captain Jack.
The panel... The panel was a lot of fun. So yeah, we just talked about different... games and how they intersect with other media.
It was really interesting. I think what's funny as well, some of the people were trying, like it was a really interesting point during the panel when they were talking about transmedia and how it's really about planning and some missteps that have happened.
Yeah.
Tristan also did one of the calmest recounts of some of the nightmares that he's had in relation to turtles ever. Yeah. and it was like, that's you're amazing. A lot calmer than you've been before.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting talking about all that. And then there was this great question from a guy going, well, we're a group of gamers and we're from Brisbane and we really want to incorporate transmedia into the work that we've already done. How do we do that? And one of the best moments where they go, you go back to the start. Like, you're already too late. We spent an hour talking about this. Were you not paying attention?
He actually said that they had... in his defense, it was people he was working for. Yeah. So it wasn't his property. But he actually said that they had... no extra story to build out. They had no budget. Money. They had no time. And it was already done. And he was like, what advice would you give them? And I'm like, don't. It's too late.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of transmedia. It needs to be conceived of as a multi-platform storyverse from the beginning.
Hmm.
And that's when it's done really well. But it was really cool. And there was lots of questions afterwards, including one from the TARDIS guy.
Yes, yes. I spent most of... I spent Saturday and Sunday... most of my time with, on and off with Alan at hanging out.
He was like a giddy schoolgirl. Oh my God, he had the best time. You know what
I
mean?
He dived right into Japan. And I've got to say, I actually think it's the best convention I've ever been to.
I have to agree.
The venue was fantastic. Yeah. The size of it layout, was what it deserved.
Everyone was so respectful because
oh my God,
the way
they?
In which, like, it really cray cray respectful. Like,
and
the tone and energy was fantastic.
Yeah.
We were talking before, he was saying there's not, the emphasis wasn't on selling and more on experiencing. Yep. But actually, there was a whole section dedicated to selling. I didn't realize this till like the last hour I was there on the Sunday because I just had no idea
it wasn't the point of it. It's not in your face like other conventions where it's just all about buying. And I have to say, as someone who's actually not a gamer,
I'm not either.
I have to agree with you. I think this is the best con that I've been to.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Serious question?
Yeah.
Obviously, Red Pop put this on, and they also do. They now control Oz Comic Con.
That's correct.
Do you think that, based on what you saw with PAX, are you looking forward to Oz Comic Con, hoping that they will run
it? They're different beasts. Like, if you look at what they are and look at how it is, this is one where it's about games. Like, there was the indie game section, which I waited till Sunday morning to go to, was literally all these people. One of my mates was there, and he had made a game, and it was just the games were there for you to try and play and experience, and for them to, you could buy one, or you could get actual feedback from real life players, just seeing what people think and feel. On the Saturday, I was just standing with my mate who loves board games. And a guy goes, I'll come over and have a go. And they'd created a card playing game. Now, I thought it was awful and didn't like it. So I just went, I won't play. I'm not really feeling it. And the other guys had a go. And we literally just sat and played. And then they went, we're not feeling it either. And they were like, yeah, that's okay. And this is the thing. It wasn't like a hard sell. It was about you sitting and experiencing. And when I was speaking to the guy and I went up to him the next day, I was like, I'm sorry, that was, you know. And he goes, no, it's been fine because we're getting people that are liking it and people that aren't. And we have to figure out why.
Mm.
But if people want to buy it, they'll buy it. If they don't want to buy it, they don't. It's a great experience. There was huge games. There were small games. I had a ball in the retro gaming area. I went back and played the original Super Mario Brothers on the original.
Nice. And
I
was the Game & Watch. They were playing the Game & Watch.
I was so
64 yet.
Bad at it.
Was it the double one? Was
Wait,
it the,
what are you
the,
talking about?
The Game & Watch that you played, the Mario Brother one that you were playing?
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, you're playing Super Mario Brothers on the Super Nintendo.
And it was like the old first ever control. Right. And I was terrible at it. Like, I just couldn't manage it. I'm so used to these new fandangled controls now. Did you play the Turtles game, Mike?
I did see it. How much fun was that? I didn't get a chance to.
It was so good.
Was that the one, the upright one, or was that on a... Was it was
in
an
the
old
retro
one?
Gaming section? There was just a couple of old TVs. The
old Nintendo.
Oh, it was old Nintendo. It wasn't the actual old upright.
That was such a hard game.
No, not the old
such
one.
A hard game.
But that's when I realized, oh my god, this is the kind of game I am. Spent. Like the stupid kiddie chart ones, and that was fun. But even I tried playing a card game. I didn't like it. Then I sat with Alan and his posse as they played a roll dice playing game that had cards in it, and that seemed a little bit more fun. I'm thinking of doing a different game a month and seeing how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'll join you in that.
I mean, but then there are people like, come to our board game night.
I was chatting to the TARDIS guy today, and we were talking about that, like role-playing games and tabletop games, and he was like, you guys should come over and we'll play some...
I feel like with Alan, I can get into it, because he's such a character in himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
heaps of people that do that kind of gaming. We should totally get into it.
I want my own pace. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I know
that's
what you mean. I think Alan is the doorway.
Oh, totally. Well,
definitely.
I've got like five doorways. They all keep banging on me. But it was such a really good con, and spending that time with Alan as well. Like, it was just so much fun, and we were having a good time, and the energy was just wonderful. And like you were saying, if you're looking at Oz Comic Con, and it's a completely different beast, because Oz Comic Con cannot have that same experience, because it's not like going, look, stand here and we'll draw
it's,
you. Like,
it's going to be different because the subculture's different.
Completely.
Like, you've got geek culture, but gamers. It's their own separate thing. And as you were just saying, with games are inherently social.
Totally.
People, there's still this really weird stereotype of gamers as being like
loners,
really antisocial loners,
but
they're not. And gaming is inherently social. When you've got a convention like this, it invites participation. It invites fans to like do things together
and
have fun.
And they did, and they really did.
Whereas when it comes to traditional media, you can't go along to a con and they're not going to like show an episode of something and everyone just sits there for half an hour and watches.
But
even
here,
if they did, that's going to be just a bunch of people
sitting
quietly
there and watching.
It's not
engaging.
Involving.
So let me ask you guys this. Is there a way that they can try and implement some of that
with
comics?
It's a completely different beast. Like, look at what's your experience with a comic? You sit and read it alone.
Yeah.
I know what I mean?
Like, so, but imagine going to a comic
with
games.
Why couldn't I sit together and we just,
But you know what I mean? Like, they could do debates. Yeah. They could do things like that.
I was about to say, let's not say that, like, geeks who aren't non-gaming geeks are still very social.
Oh, completely.
And very, like,
it's just but that, a con...
the consumption of the media itself is...
Popular culture con is about the stars and the dressing up and the selling of things. While PAX is like...
PAX is about the actual getting involved.
Getting involved.
And
I mean, the panels were absolutely fantastic. Even the one M was in. Now, the panels were absolutely great. when you look at the level of conversation, not just from the panel, but from the people asking questions... No, I went to four panels and none of them were stupid questions.
Mm.
Not one. And that never happens. Mm. You know what I mean? And they had this diversity space that was just
Diversity space was awesome.
The diversity lounge was absolutely fantastic. Mm. I did a couple of interviews with people in there.
Yep.
And they basically had every hour. They had like lesbian board game hour. And they had gender cosplay competition and all this different stuff. And next year they want to expand it so that there's a disability space. Mm-hmm. And I had the most wonderful con experience, the best of my life.
How many
life.
Days did you go?
I went every day.
But do you know goal. What?
That's and it was fantastic. Yeah. But you know what? I did it right. And this is one of the good things about PAX. I went every day. I didn't go with any expectations. I had one panel I wanted to go to each day. And the rest of it, I just wait and see. And I literally did a section of the con every day. And then I would step out, I'd go visit the art boy guys in the promenade, I'd go and get a bite to eat, and then I'd step back into that other bit and see what was different. I literally did all three, the a third of the con every single day, and it wasn't too much for me.
And yeah, that's what made it. That, it was something new every time.
Yeah,
and
even in the same space.
The Comic-Cons,
but you know what? A third of the space was tables for people to play games on.
Yeah.
They could go and borrow a game and give their license and borrow a game and play it with anyone who wanted to. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like that's so fantastic that they just had, and I'm talking a third of the exhibition center was just set up with trestle tables for people to play games.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and in another con experience they'd go, but that's a third of the space that we could put exhibitors in, which would give us money in our pocket.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's also, like we're saying, because they're just completely different, the regular pop culture conventions, that they can never be exactly what PAX is because it's just a completely different beast. Mm. But I do think that they can maybe learn from this and make an effort to try to incorporate more doing rather than just a red pop thing.
Like in the PAX
experience, it's not just
there,
a red
there
pop
are
thing at
four
all.
PAX panels in the world. Three of them happen in the US, one happens out of the US.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
and that's the one in Melbourne.
Not,
so there were people from New Zealand who came down this weekend just to experience it. So it's really not a red pop thing. When you look at a con point of view, they can't take the business models that are used from the other countries in relation to cons, because those in America, they're there. They can go, look, we're making this big announcement about a movie. It's not going to cost them a fortune to fly the actors over and to do all that kind of stuff. It still costs them money, but it's a different type of beast. In Australia, at cons, we're not supporting our own industry because there isn't that kind of industry to support. Mm. It's about the industry that's coming from overseas, so we're limited about what can come here. But from a PAX perspective, PAX Australia is the only one that happens outside of the US. Mm. And there were people from Asia. Mm. There were, like, it was literally people from around the world who came to experience PAX.
Right.
But you know what we could do more of at our pop culture conventions? It doesn't, even though, okay, the local industry isn't as big and we do, you know, a lot of what we consume is coming from the foreign industry, but we could do more of around fan culture. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't necessarily have to be around the industry. Like, for example, the Girl Geek Speak panel that I was on. That was awesome. Why don't we have more panels, and like the panel that you were on, Mike, like the Australian comic book scene, why don't we have more panels like that at conventions about things that are relevant to the local fan scene rather than just...
I mean, that is happening. Like, that's that kind of
there's,
started
there
a year
is a
ago
little bit of that,
building.
But I'd like to see more of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to see
more workshops, more actually getting people involved with it rather than just,
more
you know,
fun things
famous
to people,
people
for people
talking.
To do together rather than just buy shit, watch famous people talk.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a great way
come
for
watch us
to
talk.
Forward.
Watch us talk. That'll be a good. That'll be a great panel.
Hey, look, it works for the live show.
Yeah. We'll do it.
People my trivia went off.
People bought art and shit, and Art Boy did great guns.
Yeah,
it was
October was such a success for Art Boy.
Congratulations, guys! Well done. Another great year.
We'll let you guys know when the Poptober podcasts are coming out as soon as I edit them. It was really I was at every single one of the things. I was really tired by the end of October. But it was really fantastic. It was really great. And next year's going to be even bigger. We're already coming up with more plans.
Yay.
Huge.
We should move on.
Well, we have one last thing to talk about.
Who?
Yes.
Doctor Who, baby.
Ah!
So,
that's just a monkey.
Should we turn Nate's mic off now?
Bye.
Okay, he'll be back before the end of the episode. Okay, so for those of you... Now, here's what makes
it funny.
We need
to have one big...
Big?
Yeah.
Hang on. Before that, there is a proviso. So, because this is now, when I'm looking at how long this has taken...
Yeah.
I'm glad I texted my mate saying I'll meet you after dinner. because this is a two-part episode, because we've taken so long, you're actually going to be hearing this episode after the season finale of Doctor Who, but we're actually talking about pre-season finale Doctor Who. So the second last episode is what's just aired and what Em and I are about to talk about.
Okay.
In which that secret about Missy was revealed. Now go. Ooh.
Spoiler alert!
Okay.
Missy.
That was good.
Hi, Em.
Hi.
Where do we begin?
I'll start by saying that I was really impressed that Silent Watcher guessed what was going to happen before it happened.
I did too.
Fuck, really?
Yep.
Partway through the episode,
when
the skeletons...
But we knew that they were Cybermen.
I didn't know that.
But they were Cybermen in the preview last week.
Were they?
Yeah.
I must have just missed that.
You totally
in the preview.
Because
I was... No, and so did Silent Watcher, because we were sitting there like, what's going on? And he was
God,
like... And one minute he was suddenly like, I reckon they're Cybermen. He's like, because they've got like a thing on them and they were saying that you can't see through the water thing. And the water's gonna... And I was like, oh, really? And then it happened and we were
that
like...
That was really cool. And you know what? What's really funny? Because we're in the live episode, I was saying, how ridiculous that Missy is looking on an iPad in the episode. And actually, while I was editing it this week, I was like, oh my God. And that's because they're in real time.
Yes. Yeah.
So there was a lot. Let's break it down.
She's not in heaven.
So Danny Pink dies. I saw a car drive past in the distance. I knew that was he was going to get hit by a car.
Jake said that too. I didn't think it was projected.
But I did love that. I love the way Moffat is opening these episodes. I thought it was a really strong episode for Clara and her friendship with the Doctor. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yes, I agree. I actually really, because you know that I've had an issue with their dynamic so far. You have. I actually really enjoyed the dynamic between them in this episode. Yeah, it felt really honest and genuine, and it was just organic, and it didn't feel forced. It was really nice.
I feel like within this season, they obviously had this story planned, so they tried to do something different last week, and the one before just didn't work with the earth and the grass and blah 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 blah.
Yep.
But it was an absolutely brilliant episode in which Danny Pink dies. So Clara...
I'm confused about one point relating to that. So is he really dead? Okay. I'm a bit confused about the whole...
What?
They think they've gone to heaven,
Let's explain it. So Danny Pink dies.
Mm-hmm.
His consciousness is in the nether sphere.
Yeah.
Which is the next stage of dying, which was a fun explanation. Yep. And it's only after the third time that I watched it that I realized this. When, before Missy is revealed as Missy, what Missy is, we'll get to that in a minute, the Doctor sees a sphere and goes, that's a Time Lord.
He recognizes it as
she goes, yes. Just before the point of death, I absorbed the consciousness to make them more. So technically, they take their consciousness before death, and then when they hit delete, they make them Cybermen. That's how I saw it.
So how do they take the consciousness?
Well, the Time Lord technology.
But how do they know? So someone in the world dies, and they somehow know, and they take the consciousness.
Yeah.
So
just before the point of death.
But if they actually die, how can their bodies be used for... Don't the bodies that the Cybermen have inside of them need to be live bodies for them to work?
Well, the thing that's interesting is that now the Cybermen are in the world to... And when he goes, all the graves will burn. In doing that, then you take the consciousness into the nethersphere and create more Cybermen. That's how I saw it. I try not to think about
Hang
it
on,
too
what?
Much. Because
say that again?
The detail, like at the end when Missy reveals who Missy is... Let's just say it. Missy's the master. Which I thought was fucking cool.
And it's awesome because in the Geek Girl Speak panel, it actually came up the idea of can a doctor regenerate as a female?
But
we actually discussed, could that happen? And then someone
talked
about...
This is what drives me a little crazy because there's been a whole... Since the reveal of Missy being the master, there's been a slew of that's not what Doctor is. That's not what Time Lords are. They're trying to do this. Da 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 da. It was canon that Time Lords can regenerate into a different gender.
Don't read the comments.
It was actual canon. Like everyone complaining about it. People complained about the Key to Time when the actress from Romana was switched. They literally did a montage with Tom Baker where Romana just kept walking into a room and coming out as a different person. At one point, Romana was a man. It's established that Time Lords can regenerate into a different gender. That's it.
People are always going to find something to complain about in the 70s.
So the rest... That's why even in the conversation of, well, could the Doctor ever be a woman? I get annoyed because people don't take the conversation in the right tone. It is already canon that a Time Lord can regenerate into something that's a different gender. But would the audience experience be something that the BBC would like to put their money behind if a female actress was to take on the role? That's the question.
Yeah.
But everyone takes it into, well, Time Lord can do this, Time Lord can do that. It's like, no. It's about audience expectation. Now...
But I don't think that's where we got lost. I don't think that's what we were talking about in
not in the panel. No, not at all. After I've read a couple of things where...
Right. I haven't even bothered to read any of the responses.
You would not want to because... No. But it just makes me angry because I'm like, if you're going to get on there and complain about it, actually look at the big picture, not just your little...
Yeah, exactly. And recognize that this series is not written for individuals. The series is written for, like, a mass audience.
But it's great. Like, I'm,
there's always going to be
someone. And that actress is fantastic.
She's really good. And I loved how she's like, well, haven't you guessed, Mistress? Missy, I couldn't go with Master again. And I was like,
I actually, the first time we met Missy, there was something about the dance that stuck with me. And that was what, for me, made me think. It was just something about the dance that Missy did that made me go, there's something about that type of crazy.
Mm.
And literally, all she's been doing is building a Cyberman army. Whatever that means and whatever's going to go, like, I assume we will find out more about what that story means.
Mm.
But how nice that it's not Daleks as well.
Yeah. Although I prefer Daleks.
No, I need a break from Daleks.
No, but fair enough. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
I have to say, though, now that I know that who Missy, well, let's say was, I actually think now when I look back to the episodes she's been in, her mannerisms,
it's
like,
very much like the
it's
actor,
very similar
John,
to the
what's
master.
His name, who played the master.
Yeah.
Like, it's been very, very... Yeah. That was the first...
She's done it very well.
It was something about that I... And then when I was randomly just going through the David Tennant episodes and looked at the Here Come the Drums, I was like, when he's kind of like crazy, I was like, hang on a minute. Now, that it wasn't enough for me to go, I definitely know what Missy is, but it certainly was in
my
head.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it even better, that it wasn't obvious enough that it spoiled the surprise beforehand, but then once you know the truth, you look back and you're like, yes,
yeah.
You can see it. Like, especially their interaction before he finds out who she is.
Absolutely.
And she grabs him and puts her hand to her heart, and she says, everything in working order. Just the way she does it is now I look back, I'm like, I can just exactly imagine it being him doing it.
Yeah, so she definitely channeled the master that this generation
know. I need to go back to how this whole death thing works, because it's
really
confusing.
Well, here's the thing.
It
hasn't truly been outlined yet, and I think that's for the final. We're going to have to wait.
Because these skeletons that the Cybermen are wearing, they are dead.
They're dead.
Right?
They're dead people.
Well, then how are they... I thought that the Cybermen, the way they worked,
brains.
Was that part of the organic material was alive. That was my understanding of
Look,
the Cybermen.
Look, we're just going to have to...
All right, so it's not just me.
No. It's definitely not just you.
Murky.
There is murky waters.
Okay.
Dark waters, one might say.
Yes.
But I just don't care. I thought it was really great. I thought the Clara, the way in which they did Clara experiencing the death of Danny Pink and mourning and how she then used her friendship against the Doctor and what it meant, even when he said go to hell, even though my head went, oh my God, he's saying we'll actually go to where they die.
Yeah.
A part of me went, oh my God, he just told her to go to hell. Like, and I love, this is what the other thing I love about.
I actually know what you mean. Part of me wanted both interpretations to be true at the same time.
It was one of the best
choose your own
adventures where I'd be happy with either path.
Yeah.
But I love that he's also a little bit autistic.
Mm.
And it's such a strong dynamic, and he does it so well. And this is, yes, there have been times where the relationship between him and Clara have been a bit off this season. But you know what? The highs certainly outweigh the lows.
Oh, one thing, I don't know if I agree with that statement.
Well, let's let Mark speak first. Remember your thing.
I just wanted to say, I mean, like, going from the live show, your comments back then, you were both kind of pretty down on the Doctor and how it was
going.
I
wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't down on the Doctor. I love the new Doctor.
The
I was just down,
was
on
the down on the writing.
So, but this episode must have clearly gotten back on path.
This is
but
a
this
lot
the thing.
Better.
There have been, when the episode hasn't been strong, it hasn't been strong. There have been two that I feel have been quite weak. And
but this was definitely
really
back
weak.
On path.
But when they've been up for me. Like, I've had more highs than lows.
Yeah.
Though one of my friends turned around and went, he was ready to drop it and then he saw this episode and went, no, it's fine. And I'm like, he's a guy that's loved it. And I went, well, why were you going to drop it? And he just goes, it was fine. It was great. It just, I literally was getting to a Sunday and not rushing to download it.
Yeah.
And the next
episode
that's
is how
the finale.
I've been feeling.
Yeah, so it will have already been aired by the time this conversation happens. The season, 60-minute season finale.
One thing that Jake pointed out was that the sleep patch that she used at the start to try to trick the Doctor, it seemed a little, as a narrative device, it seemed a little lazy because we didn't have, there was no context for that. We've never been introduced to the sleep patch before. So it was kind of a bit of a lazy way to...
Totally, but think about what, I mean, this is what I feel like he did.
If they'd like referenced that in the last episode,
yeah.
And we were like, oh, the
sleep
patch.
Even if there was just a line where it was
exactly,
said at some point.
Exactly.
But it's classic Moffat where he thinks of things after the fact. So essentially, Clara's boyfriend dies and she's like, take me to him. I need him. I love him. But she can't just ask the Doctor. So what she does is goes into the TARDIS pretending everything's okay. He knows something's a bit off.
Mm.
And we see her stealing all the TARDIS keys. and putting them in her pocket.
He doesn't really notice because he's just being eccentric.
Well, he does notice. His,
well, we think he doesn't
notice. No, he notices. He notices straight away. She walks in and the first thing he does is says hello and picks the key out of his pocket. And then when she's walked and turned, not looking at him, he puts his hand in his pocket and goes, okay.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It's bang. It happens right there. He literally, the minute she pickpockets him, he doesn't do it immediately, but he gives a pause, puts his hand in his pocket, knows that his key is gone. No, he knows she's up to something.
Right.
She gets a sleep patch, puts it on him, and essentially they're then in a volcano, and she's destroying the TARDIS keys.
Yeah, she's basically saying, you're the doctor, take me back, make him come alive again. Every time you say no, I'm going to destroy another key from the TARDIS.
And she is. And he's like, I won't do it, I won't do it. And then she throws away the last key and then falls apart and realizes what she's done. And then he goes, look at your hand, and takes off the dream patch, and they're in the TARDIS.
Yeah. So she thought that she'd put the dream patch on him so that he would pass out and she could do whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
But she'd put
they showed like herself in slow motion, like she put it on him and
well,
he
kind of did
this. Well,
the dream patch would have worked and he flipped it back onto her.
He did this tricky, flicky thing.
Which put a dream state. Yeah. Which yeah. I look.
So the whole volcano scene was her dream. That yeah. It wasn't actually happening.
But it was so strong. Do you know, it was really good acting. It was really powerful.
Mm.
And it had a good touch of human emotion and that was really great.
Mm.
Even to the point there was a touch of, oh my God, when you think, oh my God, when we die, they have this whole thing that's slightly comical where they go, well, when you die, you feel what your body feels, which is why you feel cold.
But yes.
You're not going to get cremated, are you? And he's like, no, why? And then you hear someone scream and he goes, oops,
donated
burner.
His, and there was because one screaming and he was like, feels. Ooh, donated his organs.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh that's
man,
right. And it's like, wow. But then it flipped what the concept is into something more. But it's literally a quick conversation between the doctor and Missy and you miss it. Like, it took me 3 watches to go, hang on, is that an explanation that takes this all into a different context? Yes. Mm. So I'm going to rewatch it again before the season finale this week.
Mm. Yeah.
Really excited.
I'm excited.
Nathan,
I'm very
come
excited.
Back. Bring it on. That's right. Our doctor report.
Yeah.
Well, very curious to see how the finale will end then.
Yes.
Because I haven't seen, apart from episode 1, I haven't seen anything else. I just haven't had a chance to watch.
Oh, Mike. Okay, no, but you've got Hogfather's your priority. You've got to do
yeah,
that. And
you
then
have
you
yeah,
can
that is priority.
Doctor
yeah. Otherwise, no double donation.
It'll be done before November.
I have
November's.
To say, you know my friend Brooke?
Yep.
She officially got one more person who said, right, I need to get into Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you do.
I thought you were going to say, right, I love salt and vinegar chips.
She, I don't know if she does or not.
I'm sure she
got
does.
To find this out.
she seems like good people.
Yeah.
She
anyway,
really does.
Anyway.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, she's kind of like, it was this moment where she kind of like, you know, at PAX she was like, okay, you're going to have to show me Doctor Who. And I'm
awesome.
Like, yes.
We got theme songs start playing in your head.
We've got some exciting news.
Not quite, but I just got images of Tennant. I was like,
Nate has exciting
I have exciting news. I just got a email from Robert Downey Jr. because he does listen to the show.
Okay.
And he just wanted to let us know that his baby girl was born today. And
today
he's
being
had another baby.
Just think yes. while you're listening to this, two
yes.
weeks ago,
yes,
when
two
it
weeks
was
ago,
announced,
when
that's,
it was,
we're
yeah.
actually hearing.
Well,
this
when he let us know first before yep. the for the yep. 7 pounds.
I
so
thought that he broke up with
congratulations.
His
okay, that doesn't mean she can't still carry
Avery.
His child.
Mm. Susan,
pregnancy
his wife, Susan.
I thought they broke up.
I think you're making up. Well, according
could
to
you, email Rob back and just go.
I will. I'll ask
Rob's,
him. I'll ask him. I'll say.
Oh wait, who?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh my God, for some reason my brain RDJ. Just went Johnny Depp.
RDJ.
Oh my God.
RDJ.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, my brain just went Johnny Depp.
You know
why
you're
okay.
stuck in a Captain Jack Luke.
That's because that's because you're not CC'd
you're
on the...
Johnny Depp's in the new Kevin
okay.
Smith movie, I'm playing Captain
never
Jack.
Up. I'm getting back, I'm getting back on
Luke.
Track, so yeah,
you're
well
in
done.
Trouble.
Well done, Susan and RDJ, we're really proud of you guys, and thanks for listening.
Well done, Iron Man.
Thanks for listening all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for listening over 2 episodes. Wow.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed
longest
the
episode.
Yeah, I'm starving.
Ever.
It's been intense.
Except for that
really
burger.
Fun,
lucky you had that burger.
I know, right?
Tied you over.
It would have been delirious.
It would have been right.
Okay.
So, if it's Mike.
So, if it's what you're reading,
M.
What you're hooing.
What you're missing mastering.
What you're mowing, I should say.
Or what you're paxing.
What does that mean?
what you're reading and booking. If you were listening to Doctor Who Conversation,
I wasn't listening.
Watch your DC making too many movies, but Marvel are doing awesoming.
Watch your wicker wowing.
Watch wicker wowing.
Wicker wicker wow wow.
Okay.
Back off the mic slide.
We want to hear about it. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.